Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 146 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Verri.
And I am Travis Pera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Ace Frehley has released, in my opinion, the best album he's ever done. Why was it so great? Because he's in a good place. Because he's writing about something he knows and something that is close to his heart. Now, of course, I give credit for the success of the album to Ace, Steve, all the great musicians who played behind the scenes. But there is one person who I believe was integral to the success of this album. And that is our next guest, Lara Cove. This album is an ode to her. A quote from her Instagram says it all. I aspire to inspire. And that is exactly what I believe she did for Ace. It is a true honor to have Lara on our show and to get to know her together through her experiences, her art, her philosophies. Kiss Army, please welcome Lara Cove. Welcome, my good friend.
Hey. It's great to be here.
Well, great
so
to
nice
have you
to
here.
Have you, Lara. So nice to have you. You know, we can't thank you enough for making yourself time, you know, for your busy schedule. But, you know, this is going to be a lot of fun. And we want to know more about you. So thank you very much for being here.
Great.
And you're the sweetest thing. We just saw your live feed just before we came on the show, and you were mentioning us. I think that was fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, my God. And I actually went live, and then I was babbling, and it's like, delete. And then I went back and did it again. I was like, okay, I'm with it now.
Yeah, it's great. It was great.
I hope no one saw it.
Lovely. So, Lara, just to get us going, we want to know more about you, and as we said, so can you tell us about that young Lara growing up, her experiences, her influences that helped shape who she is today?
So I am Greek. I was born in Greece. I was raised in Greece, and I came over here to the United States when I was like 10 years old. Been here ever since, but, you know, I do a lot of traveling back and forth, and I have to say the people who have influenced me the most are my dad and my mom, my family, huge influence. As far as the art bug, that came from my dad. He's an artist, and he did that for a living. He was a commercial artist, a fashion illustrator back when, you know, before computers and AI and all that. He actually had to draw the models and paint them, and, you know, all the catalogs, Butterick. I don't know if you guys remember, like, Caldors. I mean, we're going way back now. I'm dating myself. But, you know, ever since I was little, I liked going in his studio and messing around with his work. Yeah, he loved me for that. And I do believe that my love for art and my passion for art definitely came from my father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mother is that strong Greek woman, you know, and always taught me to be strong and to work hard and to, you know, be a good person, be a good role model. And, you know, I went to school, I studied to be a teacher, hence role model. And I taught for 15 years before I just said bye-bye to the teaching profession as a whole. But, you know, I still substitute, you know, my kids are still in school. You know, I don't know, every now and then I feel the need to be in front of the classroom. I don't know, it's in me. And I do love to teach. I mean, that's just been my life, really. Even as a young girl, I taught, you know, I was a personal trainer. I taught aerobics. It was just me always in front of people. I guess I always felt the need to talk and have something to say. I always wanted to, you know, show that I felt strong about ideas and my philosophies, my, you know, just my world. And together. This is it.
Lara, this is, I think this is going to be, we're going to be maybe off tangent a couple of times because, you know, just what you're saying, it's so, so fascinating to me. First off, I didn't know that you were Greek. And if from where in Greece? So I just want to know.
Athens, Greece. I was born in Athens. My whole family's there. My parents live there. My brother is here. I have a brother.
Okay.
I have three half siblings as well. But that's it. I, we're all older. We're in our life, you know. You don't get to see each other like you did when you were younger or whatever. And I hate it, you know, because I am a very family-oriented person. Right. And having my parents and their old age in Greece while I'm here is definitely daunting at times. I like that.
Yeah.
I would love for them to come back. We'll see. You know, you don't know.
Exactly. Never know. Exactly. You know, we had the chance with my wife to do a little bit of a trip to Greece last year, you know, for the first time. And we loved it so much. You know, the people are so nice, you know, so warm. It's
wonderful. A hell
of, yeah, but not only because of the beauty of the places, but mostly the people. You know, we were fascinated and we want to come back, you know, anytime. It's beautiful.
We are a warm people. We are very welcoming, definitely. And, you know, they call Greece the poor little rich country. My mother always just said that. We're the poor little rich country because, yes, you know, people struggle there. The economy isn't great, but people live like they love life.
Exactly.
You know? And they live to have that good life. They like good food. They're going to sit, have their coffee. They have their siestas. I'm thinking, hey, it can't be that bad. If they're, you know, taking breaks. I mean, they literally close shop for 2 hours in the middle of the day.
What?
Right. They don't do that here, but
enjoying life, right?
And I mean, my grandmother lived to be almost 100 years old. You know, I come from longevity, thank God.
Wow.
And you know, my dad's in his 90s. My mom, you know, she's up there too. She'll kill me if I tell her age. So I'll leave
we're gonna
that
edit.
Out.
We're gonna cut it in the edit.
I'll leave that. But you know, she's very lively, and I definitely have that from her. My dad's more calm, but that's probably his age. He used to be a beast, you know. He used to bodybuild. No. Yeah, he was. Wow. He was a beast.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
You know, Pask mentioned that in the opening, a very nice, you know, quote from you saying, I aspire to inspire. So I'm in trying to ask you, so what are some of your philosophies to help you navigate and make sense of the world around you? Because, it shows that you're so special. And even through your posts on social media and everything, it shows something unique. So what is it? What is your philosophy to live your life?
Oh, you know, my philosophy has changed so many times. And, you know, we live in a world that's ever changing. You know, you grow up thinking one way. And then as you get older and you go through all your experiences, the good, the bad, you know, you tend to formulate different philosophies along the way. So fast forward to now, my ripe old age, I'm going to be 55 this year. I've been through quite a bit, you know, didn't have like this wonderful, like easygoing kind of, you know, but I think for me, the most important thing is don't dwell on the negative. Don't let it harness you and take hold of you, because it's very easy to go into that dark place, that dark corner, and just let it take over your existence. And I learned through all my experiences that, you know what, Lara, no one's going to be around to save your ass. You have to get up. You have to still work hard. You got to go up there, get up, show up. That's right. Get up and show up and try and do it with a smile, because I feel like when I'm smiling at the devil, you know, I'm smiling at that the devil is trying to bring you down, you know, with all the craziness in the world. You know, it's very easy, I think, to just kind of let it take hold of you. And, you know, being a teacher, I used to, you know, I mean, I have to mold these little minds, these children, right? They have to see a person who can take charge, right? And feel, and they can feel safe. That was the most important thing, to feel safe, to bring that feeling into the classroom. So, you know, going through whatever the tidal wave of life, I had to take my own advice.
That's right.
My own teachings and say, Lara, you know, you just have to, you know, be strong, take accountability for your actions, never point the finger. You know, sometimes you look in the mirror and you got to say, hey, I did this. Yeah, I'm here because of me, and I got to get myself out of it, because no one's going to save you. There's no Superman. There's no one coming to save you. And, you know, just, you gotta just believe and forge ahead. That's what I've done. And I don't regret anything in my life, anything, not my divorces, not my breakups, not my heartaches, nothing, because all of those things made me who I am today. And exactly. I quite frankly like who I am. I love who I am. You know, even with my flaws, we all have them. So navigating through life, it's an adventure.
It is. That's life.
You know, it is an adventure. So you got to just take it day by day. And and it's and I enjoy the journey. I do, because it really is all about the journey and not the destination. And, and I do aspire to inspire. It really I mean, being an artist and painting, I love to make people feel something, and hopefully something good. And I want them to know that, you know, I'm not just, oh, here's my art and hope you like it. I really enjoy reading people's comments. I really do spend time reading their comments and answering. I try to answer everybody's. My audience has grown, but I do know it is a large, big reason is because, you know, I am with Ace, and people know I'm with him, and, you know, and I appreciate it all. I don't take it at all for granted. Every day I'm grateful, like every day. So.
But, you know, the more and more we talk, I think that your fans and the people who follow your work, they relate to you. And maybe they're not even Kiss fans. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, I started my Art of Glass almost 10 years ago, little tiny page. And it's grown over time. I mean, I had somewhat of a following. I mean, it's definitely bigger now. But I'm not being like, oh, you know, I have this big following, and I'm not to say that I'm careful, but I want to be responsible. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of people listening. There's a lot of people watching all of the time. Yeah. And, you know, not to be fake. I'm not fake. You know, I'm me, but I don't take that for granted. Not one second. And, you know, like now I feel like I've got one huge classroom, you know, not 20 kids, but I feel like I have a lot of people that listen in, that pay attention, that do appreciate my art. Oh my God. I mean, I feel blessed and grateful, honestly, every day. And I don't even think I'm like that amazing, you know? And so I'm really just, you know, flattered beyond.
It just
flattered.
Makes you happy. It just makes you happy.
Yeah, and that's, it makes it me happy. I love to paint, and to be able to do something you love, it doesn't feel, you know, you've heard it, right? It doesn't feel like work if you love to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, you know, this like horrible job that you have to do. It's, you love it. And then, you know what? You've arrived. Mm-hmm. If you're doing something that you enjoy, you know, even if it doesn't make $1 million, you know,
that's right.
You love it.
You see, it's funny, these few minutes we've been talking right now, I feel like I connect with you, and I know you, because
really?
I truly believe a lot of these philosophies that you're talking about, I share them myself. I'm a teacher myself, and
yes,
you know, as a teacher, I think we're all artists, because those students are our works of art, and it's almost scary, the responsibility we have to those students, to shape their minds, to help them navigate through this world. And we have to be on all the time for those kids. There is no taking a break. It's all about that.
100%. I mean, you know, I took my maternity leave, and that's when I slowly started pulling away, because I moved far away. My job was an hour away, and traveling and all that, it just became like a big deal. I left just before like the internet exploded, like, you know, not the internet, we had internet, but like just this whole, look, it's gotten crazy the last 10 years, you know? Yeah. And it is scary to know that children are, you know, exposed to so much, so young, so early. And even as a parent, I had a hard time like trying to control it and make sure my kids weren't like watching weird stuff or whatever. It really is a huge responsibility, I think, to be a teacher nowadays. Huge. And parents, a lot of times, they're like, go to school, you know, run along. And exactly. Hoping that, you know, we'll do 90% of the work.
Something will happen. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
We'll do 90% of the work, but it's tough. It's tough. Teachers, man, they don't get enough credit. So being one, because I don't think you ever stop being a teacher, especially after you get your degree. It's in you.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's a huge responsibility. We don't get enough credit.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, a teacher is, in a sense, an artist. And you're an artist on so many levels. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, besides teaching, who is Lara as an artist?
What am I? You know what? I am a Renaissance artist. It's like brush and paint for me. I didn't study. I didn't go to school for art. I just loved it. And I definitely took it for granted as a young girl, as a teenager even. I just thought, you know, whatever. I took it for granted. It was a talent that was definitely I was born with. And I'm telling you, it took like that crazy moment in my life to make me reflect and go, I gotta paint. You know, sometimes you just need that like experience. It could be a bad one. It could be something that makes you say, I need to go back inside and rediscover myself, like really find myself again. Because you know, we get lost in the mix.
Yeah.
Things happen in life. We get lost in it. It's very easy to get lost in it. And I found myself back in with my art. It started on glass. That's why it's called My Art of Glass. But I have now kind of shifted my focus, and it's mainly on canvas. Mm-hmm. And I look, honestly, guys, at first I was doing it because I wanted to make money painting on glass. And I really think that's the thing that captured people's interest, because it was very unconventional, the art that I did on glass, you know, and portraits and movie stars and rock stars or whatever. It just grew. It just changed and morphed. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly morphing, transforming. Mm-hmm. I feel like a butterfly, you know, kind of just. It changes over time, you know? So yeah, just paint, brush, yeah, no computer graphics. Although I would love to learn that too. It's very fascinating to me. So I'm always willing to learn new stuff, you know, I'm not like
always
stubborn.
and Lara, how can our listeners get a hold of your work? How can they have access to your work?
All right. Well, that's the thing. So I don't have a website yet. I'm working on it. I did. Something went crazy. I don't know. Something happened, and I'm starting over again. So right now I go through the, you know, meta business with Facebook. I have my Facebook page. It's been great. People find me there. They inbox me. I am very... you know, open with all my information. I tell them exactly what I have, what I do, how much, etc. It's been good, but I know it could be better. I should have, you know, shop on the, on my Facebook page or something where people can click and see everything, and I don't.
It'll come.
I don't know how to do that.
It'll come. It'll come.
But it's been fun. It's I have to say, I have no complaints at all. And, you know, I live in my studio. I love it in here. It's cozy. I'm in here right now. So, yeah.
So I don't know much about art, and I can't afford originals. So I buy prints. But I saw a video that you posted online. Now, you were coming back from the rock cruise, and you mentioned a concept I never heard of, G clay.
Yes.
Now, first, explain to our listeners who may have not seen the video, what does that mean? What is G clay?
Okay, so G clay is really, it's a print. But what makes it different is that is the ink. So it's a better ink that they use, and it won't fade over time. It'll last forever, you know, kind of thing. And it is more expensive. Mm-hmm. But I consider my prints G clay. Now, I don't use that as super expensive print, but I do get good quality prints. So what makes mine G clay is I paint over them.
Yeah.
And then I varnish them. So they are 100%. And of course, you know, when I'm painting and I add, accent paint and touch-ups and all that, I always go over the top. You know, I don't just do a couple of brush strokes. I get so into it again. And I'm like, look at this. I just created another one-up.
It's a new one. You know? That's
right. Like I just created another one-up. And it really is. It's a mixed media piece. And it's, again, another one of a kind. Even though it looks like a reproduction, I add all these little extras. And now, of course, on the most popular print right now is the Ace Then and Now, where Ace's face is split down the middle, right? Mm-hmm. His younger self, you know, on the bottom end, and then the top end is his current, more recent image. Those became super popular. And now I offer, you know, additional artwork on there. So it's, you know, give me your two favorite song titles from Ace. I do all this, like, you know, graffiti font on there because I'm really good with font. And then I paint like a really cool spaceship and, you know, just makes it a little more fun, different, you know, definitely different. Every one I've given looks nothing like the last that
it
I have.
It makes it unique, right? It's a
very
unique piece.
Very unique. And yes, so those became popular. But, you know, and I hate to say this, I mean, eventually I'm going to have to go on my page and say, but I am going to do a limited edition now because I'm working on like these bigger projects. And so I'm just going to do like a 30 more limited edition, and that's it. So I think that's probably going to be maybe another month, and I'm going to put that print to rest for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's interesting because in a sense you're not selling prints, you're always selling original art of one form or another.
I'm selling art, exactly. So yeah, I was talking to my friend about the G clay, and I told her, you know, I mean, should I like go into this and see? She goes, Lara, you know, they are G clay because, you know, think of all the work you do after the fact. So you mm-hmm. get the print, it's on a wonderful, you know, gallery wrap canvas, and you're painting over it, like mm-hmm. a lot of paint, not just a little, like the hair, the eyes, I'm like going over everything and glitter and, you know, all this really like cool little things that just come to me. I just get into it. That's my problem. It's not a problem, but you know, I should be able to just say, okay, I'm done. That's it. Next. No, I'm there. Hours later, you know, my kids will be like, you're still doing that print? Like, I know, I need to wrap it up. But yeah, I love it that much. So it's, you know, even if you're getting a G clay, a reproduction of a print, whatever, I'm putting my whole heart and soul in it, regardless. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every single one.
You know, I actually met you at the New York, New Jersey Kiss Expo. I believe it was in 2018, 2019.
Oh my God. Yes.
And I remember your table. It was the art on glass. You had a lot of Kiss on glass and things like that.
Yes.
You touched on it a bit on the episode. Can you tell us a little bit more about this particular art form?
My glass art, you mean?
Yeah.
I know. And I retired that recently. It's really taken its toll on my eyes. Mm-hmm. So that whole set, because it was literally every member from Kiss ever to be in Kiss, belonged to a customer that wanted those glasses. It wasn't like, oh, I'm this big, huge Kiss fan and I'm painting all the Kiss members, you know, on glass. It just so happened that over time, this person kept asking me for a new glass. And the new glass, next thing I know, there's all 11 members. Oh, and so I borrowed the set from him so that I can display it on the table, because it is very impressive and it is beautiful.
Yeah.
And they are, just like anything else, I pictures don't do them justice. Video doesn't do it justice, no matter how close up I go. You got to see it in person. So I painted on glass with enamel. And enamel is like a form of acrylic, but it dries and adheres to the glass when you cure it. Now, you can either cure it by letting it dry for 30 days on a shelf somewhere, or you can bake it like at 350 degrees. So yeah, I used to bake my art. And, but it was quicker that way, you know, and this way I can, boop, you know, ship it and done. The only thing I found with doing that is it did dull the colors, the heat. So the yellow wasn't that beautiful canary yellow anymore. It turned into like a beige mustardy color. And then I said, oh, you know, that's not good. And then I found myself having to paint over it. And then, so I used to tell my customers, look, you know, I'm sending the glass, just don't do anything with it for 30 days, let it dry. Be careful, wash it, but hand wash it. Don't throw it in your dishwasher with everything else. I don't think anybody would do that because my glasses are expensive. So I got to say, you know, they're not cheap. I'm hand painting each one and it would take weeks for me sometimes to finish it. And, you know, because I'd have other things going on. It's not like that's all I did. And it did take its toll on me after all. My eyesight is not what it was. You know, holding a 3-pound mug for hours like this, you know, it just started getting to me. And I knew, oh, you know, maybe I need to just put that on the side for now. I'd love to do it again, but not yet. Mm-hmm. I have things coming up this year, maybe in the next year. And I really want to grow my body of work. That's important to me now.
That's great. Lara, so you always said about, you know, how relatable you are and how you like to meet people and get to know your audience. And so the first question is, what are your thoughts about the Kiss Army? Speaking of fans and, you know, people who relate to you, what do you think about the Kiss Army?
You know, they're devoted. They're very devoted. And I mean, you know, when you love something so much, you don't just love it for the music. You love it for what it does to you. I mean, most of these people grew up on it. It's why they picked up the guitar or why they sang or why they're in the band. I mean, those guys, they have inspired so many musicians, so many artists. I mean, some of them are famous, you know, some of these fans, they, you know, they've been inspired from Kiss and today they are inspiring their own fans. It's just, it's amazing. So what do I think about? I think it's great. I think, I respect that. I respect that kind of devout, you know, inspiring.
Yeah, that feeling. Loyalty, right?
So it's, absolutely. And you know, it's funny, a lot of them are, you know, they stick up for their band too, you know, because back in the day, whatever, some people thought Kiss was not great. They would really defend them, defend them with honor, you know. And I thought, wow. You know, but there's a lot of that. I mean, if you're not like a Kiss Army, you could, there's other fans who are, you know, crazy Beatle fans or rock, you know, Rolling Stones. They each have their own really devoted fan group. And I respect that. I do. I don't think it's like, you know, oh, look, it's crazy, you know, all these people so into Kiss. I don't feel that way at all. You know, I feel like it's a community. And,
It feels like family, you know, so it's
I see common... what's going on in the back there.
That's right.
I mean, wow. I can't help but look. You know, I see some beautiful art back there. Yeah. And posters. And
it's beautiful.
So, I think it's great.
I think it's a way to connect, you know, with either collecting or listening to music or buying stuff.
Yes.
It's a way of showing love, you know, and that's what it is. And so let me ask you, so outside of KISS, who is your audience for your artwork? So
I gotta say there's other artists because believe it or not, you know, a lot of them inbox me privately and they'll ask questions or they'll say, oh, look what I just painted.
Oh.
Or, you know, what do you think of this? And, oh, or I'll ask questions. I don't know it all, you know, I mean, I'm being followed and that's great. And I appreciate it. But a lot of these people are super talented. Like, wow. Okay. And, you know, I follow them back. I do. I follow them back. And, there's a lot to learn from each other. So mm-hmm. I respect that. And you know, so yeah, they'll inbox me, they'll show me their work. Some of them, they just want to talk or say, you know, I went through a really rough patch. I'm in, you know, I want to put my work out there, but I'm embarrassed. And then I feel my philosophical side coming out and taking them under my wing and, you know, say, hey, you know, listen, art deserves to be shown. It deserves to be seen. The world needs to see it, you know, mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah, and no one should ever, you know, when you're painting, I mean, no one should ever feel like, oh, this is awful. Like that, I've never felt a moment in time where I painted, even if it wasn't the best, I never felt like, oh, I wish I never did that. I always feel better afterwards. It's therapeutic, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
there's therapy there. I mean, they even have, there is such a thing, art therapy.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting because it seems like, you know, everything you do in your life, it's in a sense a form of art, you know?
Yes.
The way you use social media is very artistic. You're very social media savvy as a result of that. You know, well, you know, when I watch your videos, I mean, I'll say it again. I feel like I know you, like you're humble, down to earth, very much approachable. Uh-huh. And it really comes off on the screen like it is right now as well.
So, thank you.
What do you think? I mean, how exactly do you use social media to connect with your audience? Because that's very important as well.
Oh, you know, I guess, you know, doing the live segments, you know, I could even be going through something sometimes. And I just want to, like I did before, you know, I was nervous. Oh, hey guys, what y'all doing right now?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I might be feeling inspired to share something. I mean, I don't get super personal, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, enough to make people realize that, hey, it's okay to not feel great sometimes. It's okay if, you know, you're feeling down or something's going on in your life or, you know, there's people, that's the good thing about social media. I do believe that a lot of people do use it for their own, like, not therapy, but it makes them feel better. Something about putting yourself out there, even if it's a picture, you know, oh, yeah, I'm at a red light. Let me take a selfie, smile. Hey, here, everybody see, you know, I'm feeling good today. And I felt that even before my art class, like it really did help, like try and get my mind off maybe the awful things going on in mm-hmm. the world or in my bubble and just communicate with others through social media. I met some great people on social media that I'm like friends with now. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, like you really can develop relationships and friendships through social media with people you've like never met, ever met. They could be on the opposite side of the country. And next thing you know, you're like sharing your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you know, you're just sharing. And then you think, did I just overshare? But, <it's>, but
it's
you know, I don't think it's awful. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, you know, that person's airing their dirty laundry on social media. But you got to think about where that might be coming from. That person might be suffering internally. There's something going on in their life. They might be reaching out and this is the only way they know how.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, if you think that person's in a dark place, reach out to them, inbox them, something private, maybe send them a, you know, a hotline number if you think they're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, but help them. Yeah,
that's right. It's, you know, I like to think that the majority of the people are good. You know, there's some bad eggs out there, but I like to think that my audience, the majority of my audience, are cool people. They're cool people. Mm-hmm. You know, they have something to offer, and they're from all over, which really makes it interesting. I'm New Zealand and England, and I'm like, what? Yeah. I never had such a broad audience. So, you know, it's cool, and I welcome it.
Yeah. I also think you use your social media skills to ACE's benefit. I love the videos, you know, ACE at the grocery store, at Walmart. And, you know, it made them relatable, within reach. You feel like you know on a personal level. You know, and then I listened to 10,000 Volts and I just loved it. And I believe I loved it because I understood it, because I felt like I understood him, and I also understood you. Mm-hmm. Now, was there a conscious effort on your part to get ACE more out there?
You know, I got to say, in the beginning, and he told me, I never did these before. I would do the live thing at his shows. And only because I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. I want to share it with people. I want them to see this. This is great. I'm like in behind the scenes. I want people to see this. It's great. And that, you know, I mean, you get the some people that are not into it, or they're going to say something. And then most of the people love it. And I told this, I'm like, this is a really good thing for you, because there's so many people that can't get to your show. Mm-hmm. There are people overseas that can't get to this show. You know, and I think it's a great idea. And he did. He's like, wow, you know what? You're right. And no one's ever done that for me before. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't we test the water, see where this goes? But really, at the end of the day, all the videos, like, you know, you see him at Walmart and ShopRite. And that's not me. You know, his record company hired a this wonderful social media specialist guy. He does this for a living. It's what he does. And he'll come and, you know, he'll capture content through, you know, once every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was also because of the new album coming out. So, you know, they're trying to create a buzz, right? But now this whole new thing is happening, right? So people want to see more of Ace, you know, like shopping or fishing. All these little hobbies that he has, because, you know what, at the end of the day, the guy is human. You know, people see him as this rock star, but when I said that to him, you know, people want to see the behind the scenes, you know, they want to see that you're not always on, you know, that you fumble or you do, not so that they can pick you apart, but because it makes them relate to you more, right? Yeah. You relate more to a celebrity who's like kind of just, you know, I don't know, shopping at A&P or whatever, you know, and they're, you know, getting their food. You see them come in the car in sweats. Like, it's relatable. It makes you really say, wow, you know what? They're human. And they shouldn't be treated all the time as if they can never fail or they can never have an off moment, because that's not fair.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? We all have off moments. They have off. Ace has off moments. But you know, he's that guy. He always wants to look amazing. He's really into grooming himself and looking good. And I commend him on that. I think that's wonderful that he's like, you know, what's happening to the world today? You know, people don't dress up anymore. He said to me, people just like walking around in their pajamas. Yeah, I don't get it. I'm like, well, we come from that time where we took pride in our appearance. Not that people don't now, but I just see the youth, for example. A lot of the kids, that young kids today, they're walking out in their slippers and pajamas. Like, why?
Yeah.
You look like you can't brush your teeth. Like, you should kind of like try to, you know, put yourself together. I'm not raising my kids that way. I won't let them out the door. Let's just say that for one. But, but no, you know, he takes pride in that, and he wants to look good for his fans and all of that. I mean, he tries 100%, 100,000%, practicing all of it. Just, you know, so all he said, you know, I don't know if I want to do shows, you know, but these little segments are all people need. They don't need like a 1-hour long show, you know.
Yeah.
all he needs, like, Ace of CVS or something, or
right,
Ace driving or hanging out with his dog. I mean, people, you know, that's, I mean, he's so funny too. It's not like,
he is.
Oh, boy. You know, it's like, oh my God, so yeah, I mean, but he has a social media guy. I mean, it's not me doing all that, and I appreciate the credit, but I can't take it. I do the live shows, and you know, his tour manager does too sometimes. So I'm not at all of them, you know. I can't just pick up and go every time. You know, I'll go to the good stuff. Oh, wait, you're going to tour in Hawaii? I'll be right there. No problem.
I'll be there with you.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, Florida? Yeah, Miami. I'll go with that one.
But, you know, I think that all of this, you know, kind of circles back to what we were saying at the beginning, so that... you know, he seems to be at a very happy place, and you know, it all kind of gets together. You know, as you said before, you know, the social media guy. But even when you started, you know, from the side of the stage, when you started to do the live streamings, I remember that I would have loved to go on CAs, but as you said before, sometimes we don't have the chance. He doesn't come to Canada too often. And when you did that, you could feel this kind of sense of, you know, humbleness, that you're recording, you know, like nothing was like staged or scripted. You know, it was so fun, so much fun. And I loved it because I felt that, you know, you were one of us, you know, a fan there, you know, on the side of the stage. And now everything going with, you know, people having the chance to relate to Ace, having these, you know, short things, because he wasn't out there, you know, in the past. It was really, really hard to find him. And now, speaking of that, so how important do you think that social media is today to the success of an artist?
I think it's 100% important. I do now, because this is how people connect.
Yeah.
I'm more than TV. I mean, people are on their phones, people are on their iPads, people are on their computers, on their laptops. I mean, I don't always love that, because I feel like we're missing out on real life. You know, like, get out of the house. But, you know, if you're an artist, or if you're trying to put your craft out there, or your talent out there, for the world to see, it's important, because you can connect with so many more people, so many more. All you gotta do is hashtag, and you've already, you know, reached like another, I don't know how many thousands. And in his case, even more so, I think he's starting to realize more now how, wow, you know, I've reached 3 million people. I mean, I don't reach 3 million people, but you know, but I mean, the numbers go up, and the more you go on and you post or whatever, you know, there's this algorithm that's happening. And the next thing you know, you're creating a larger fan base, a larger audience. And I do believe that has a lot to do with mine as well, because I'm on my page a lot. I mean, it's my page, of course, but you know, I monitor it. I can't pay someone to do it for me, and I wouldn't want to. I like that connection. So, you know, I'll post a quote, I'll post a picture, I'll post a, you know, my progress on my work, or maybe I'll do a throwback or a funny video or just whatever I'm feeling at that moment. I'm feeling like I want to make someone laugh. I'm going to put a funny joke in there, or a funny video. There is no script, is what I'm saying. It's just, I'm just going with it. And every day is different, every day. So then that's how I treat my page. That's how I treat the internet. So I treat social media. You know, I know that most times, you know, you got to have some kind of, you know, not a script, but, you know, there's an end to it. Like, what are you trying to achieve kind of thing. Me,
kind of frame it.
I love to inspire people. I want my art out there. Of course, I want more people to see it. I mean, isn't that why, right? We paint. Exactly. I paint for myself, but what it does for me, I want it to do for someone else. And if I can't have it big audience feels something. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like I've just something, you know?
Right. And you know what? And there's a lot of good things about, you know, being out there on the social media, but there's also a dark side of it. And you mentioned that before. So how do you try? Because, you know, you can never be 100% sure. But how do you try to avoid that? To get on the dark side of social media? Is there a moment where you kind of, you know, pull the plug and you say, well, enough is enough? And
well, look, I've had some people, look, and I still do, but I have people that will say something very negative, say something very crass, disgusting, whatever, that doesn't go with, you know, along my guidelines. Like, I want to create a nice, safe environment for everybody where they, you know, we can share and, you know, communicate, right?
Positive.
I want to create that platform. I don't want it to be where suddenly there's people arguing amongst themselves and there's this chaos. And I mean, there's nasty people out there, very nasty, and haters, whatever you want to call them. I just, you know, I do that. I pull the plug. I'm sorry. I don't think this platform is for you. This page is for you. There's pages for you, but not mine. Goodbye.
Okay.
Respect.
Good.
And that's it. I don't get into it. I don't, but you know, lately I've been getting inbox messages, really disgusting. Like, you know, hey, sexy, you know, one of those, like, okay, block. But you know, you get that. It's that's been happening since the beginning of Facebook.
True.
All of it.
True.
Ever since we had social media. Mm-hmm. MySpace. I mean, it's just that's where it all began. So you just got to know when to say when and not to engage.
Yeah, not to engage. Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is.
Lara, I'm an ethics teacher, and one of the things I do in my class, we try to understand teens through their music. So I have kids choose a song that they feel relates, that they could relate to, or that teens in general relates to. So, and we sit back and we listen to the music in class, and it's a fantastic experience because I feel like I get to know the kids a lot better, and we get to know each other a lot better. The power of music is really something else. And, you know, listening to 10,000 Volts, I love that album so much because it really, for me, it's the first Ace album where I relate to it on an emotional level, because through the social media videos, again, I feel like Ace is relatable, like I know him and I see you in the videos. I feel like I know you. So it's really important that we connect to the music, but also to the artist. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. Is it important for fans to connect on some level with that particular artist?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to know the person you're listening to, the music that they're playing for you. You want to know them on a deeper level, not on the creepy level. Deeper. As in, what kind of person is he? Oh, you know, I wish I could hang out with him. He's cool to hang out. He looks cool to hang out with. Like that kind of feeling. You want to do that. But I think Ace had that long before social media. He just, you know... he was always that guy who, he even told me back when he was in Kiss, you know, I hung out with the crew, you know, playing cards with the crew. He was that guy. He never felt above anybody, you know, and to this day, he doesn't, I don't think I'm that great, you know, he says, he says, but others will beg to differ. And that's what I mean. That humbleness, that modesty, it's real, it's not phony, it's not you know, just gonna play that off. It's real. And there's that, there's a very magnetic, but yet very, there's an innocence to him. I don't know how to put it.
No, with Ace, like, what you see is what you get, and you can't fake that.
I don't say innocent like he's innocent, like we know what he's done. We know who he's been and what he's done in his life, and he's lived a million lives, but there's this, you know, there's this part of him that I feel is like a youthfulness to him. I don't know how to put it.
Yeah,
the thing he says, he's very wise, you know, he'll say things that are just very clean cut, and I'm like, damn, you know, you're right. That just, that one simple phrase you just said to me just totally fixed my whole you know, demeanor or my thought process or whatever. It's nice for his fans to see that side, you know. I think social media is great for that, as long as it's monitored and not out of control.
Healthy.
It, just like anything else, you know, everything within reason. You know, you just don't want it to take off and suddenly, you know, you can't pull back with whatever. So I think these little segments, these one-offs, these, you know, he is involved. I don't want to say like, oh, it's just his social media guy. You know, he'll say things on his own too. So, and it's, you know, it's good to see that he wants to engage, but you know, he's so busy. I got to tell you guys.
Oh, can you imagine?
He's doing interviews like all day. It's, you know, I never knew it was going to be that much. So he's a busy guy. You know, it's not like he's on social media playing all day long.
So I'm curious, what are your thoughts about that 10,000 volts?
I love it. Absolutely love it. I mean, and before it came out, you know, I was lucky enough to have like the copy before it came out, you know, so I was listening in my car constantly and I had a new favorite every time. Mm-hmm. And the ones that I thought, oh, you know, that's one's okay. I really like it. Now I'm like, oh my God,
it grows. It grows on
and
you.
I'm like going back and listening to it again and again and finding all these little nuances and just, I love it. I love that album.
Yeah.
Love it. And I had, you know, my favorite at first was Cherry Medicine, but then I went from Cherry Medicine to Fighting for Life. And then after Fighting for Life, I was like, oh my God, I love 10,000 volts, you know? And then I played that till it was like crazy, you know, till I didn't want to hear it anymore kind of thing. And just, I love the album, you know, and not because, oh, it's an ode to me kind of thing. It really is great.
It is good. It is really good.
I saw a video of Ace where he was talking about Life of a Stranger, and he was worried about doing the song because he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to pull it off vocally. Well, let him know that, oh my God, did he pull that off? It is my favorite song on the album. It's like nothing he's ever done.
I can't believe I forgot to mention that one. I remember when he was thinking about doing it and he let me listen to the original. And I was like, I don't know. I can't picture it, but how are you going to aceify it, right? Like, but my God, it is great. It is such a great cover.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that song existed until we watched the movie. And he's like, you know, I really like that song. You know, I love the modulations. And boy, he killed it.
Yeah.
I love
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot to mention that one. That great was song. Like great tune.
Lara, and if I remember well, you're a kind of a complete artist because you sing too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I remember you sang on some of the Origins tunes, and on this one on 10,000 volts. So you are on Constantly Cute, and
No, I do love to sing. I do sing. But, you know, not professionally or anything crazy like that. But once he discovered that I could, he wanted, you know, me to,
of course, to be part of it. Right.
And be part of it. And I was more than happy. It's so much fun. It's something I've never done before again, you know, just another thing that I get to do. I mean, you know, just the back, even doing just backup and harmonizing is so much fun. Yeah,
love it.
I came up with that title. I didn't know I came up with that title, but I had come up with the title. I didn't even realize, you know, it was just something I said to him. And he was like, oh, my God, that is a great title for a song. And I'm like, it is? He's like, yes, I'm going to write a song, you know, I'm going to write a song to that title. I'm like, oh, my God, okay. So it was, yeah, I mean, I told him I thought he looked constantly cute. And he was like, shout out, don't say another word. Yeah, it was us getting ready to go out. We were going out to dinner. And he asked me, how do you think I look okay in this? I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, you look so cute. You're constantly cute.
And boom, right.
That was it. The story, God. Oh my God. Oh, that's my why God. He's like, you got to sing on that one. And you have to. So, yeah.
Lara, I got to tell you, I've been with my girlfriend for 10 years now, and we don't have a song together. Mm. We do now. It's constantly cute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I played it in the car on the way to Plattsburgh, and I go, honey, this is our song. Aww. This is your song.
It is a good song.
It is. It's fantastic.
Yes. It really is. I mean, you know, they say, oh, like, the lyrics might be a little young or whatever. So what?
Whatever.
We're all young at heart.
Exactly.
That's right. It's so catchy. It's cute. It's catchy. And I love it. Like I said, you know, it's like you just mentioned another one, but I move down.
It's changing.
The line,
yeah. It's changing every day. So, Lara, what does the future hold for you? So, where is your art going to take you?
Oh, God. You know, I want to do a show. So that is where my focus is right now. And it's in the works. That's why I'm in like the middle of a paint storm here. I need pieces. I need originals. So, which is one of the reasons why I'm not really selling original work anymore. And although I have one that I need to, you know, they paid me and I have to paint it for them and I am going to give it to them. It's their dog. So obviously, but, even that customer said, I will lend it to you when your show is ready. You can have it. You know, I just want to be able to have as many pieces as possible, build my body of work and do shows like not, you know, I mean, I have my sights on several places, but, yeah, I want to get away from the vendor's table.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's where I started. But now I want
time
to
move on.
Right. I'm evolving.
Nice. And is there anything that you haven't done that you would love to do artistically?
Wow. I would love to paint a large, like one of the biggest canvases. I want to do a canvas that is like where I need to walk from side to side.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's a mural, I guess, because I have painted murals, but you can't take a mural with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's on a wall. You can't take it. So I would love to paint something big and just impressively big. Something that I can just pour my entire soul onto and look at it for years and years to come. I want to cover all my walls with my art. I want my house to look like a museum. That's really
beautiful.
What I'm aiming to do that. Nice. But I guess I've grown up in the arts. Like I love the arts. Like I love music. Music is like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's who you are.
It's who I am.
Yeah.
And I love all kinds of music. I danced for many years. I love dancing. I just, anything that I can express myself creatively, I'm all in.
Through art.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm all in.
One final question before we close the curtain on this episode. I love reading your philosophical quotes online. And like I said, I'm a high school teacher. What would you like to say to my 16 and 17-year-old students?
Be unapologetically you. And I think that's so important because kids, even 16, 17-year-olds, are very, you know, they are impressionable. And they go online. They watch TV. They want to, I want to be just like that person or whatever. You know what? No. There's only one you. Work on that person. So that when, you know, take all your experiences and become the best version of yourself. Because at the end of the day, you can't be anybody else. You can only be yourself. And another thing I would say, you know what? Take whatever anybody says to you with a grain of salt. Don't let anybody try and make you someone that you're not. Okay? I mean, the peer pressure out there is beyond.
Yeah.
So be strong enough to know when to say no, when to say yes, And you know, because personality goes a long way, and character is even bigger. And they're at that time in their lives now that they're in their character building stage, you know, and there's a lot to be said for that. There's, you know, try not to, you know, as much as possible. I think family is so important too, you know, spend as much as time, you know, as much time as you can with your grandparents, your parents, wise beyond their years. You know, you can learn so much from your family and they love you. You know, if you're going to take advice or listen to anybody, you want to listen to the people who brought you into this world. So
very nice.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Very nice. What a way to wrap up, you know, the episode. and it shows actually what you just said, you know, about family and all of that. It shows who you are. It shows your roots, you know, because, you know, coming from a Greek family, you know, you can tell that that's one of the most important things. And you have no idea, Lara, how happy we are to have you on the show. It was a true pleasure. It was an enriching, you know, experience to get to know you. And you know, we're gonna be at one of ACE's shows, and hope to see you there. You know,
oh my God, absolutely!
That would be awesome.
Inbox me, let me know. I would love to come out and see you guys. Absolutely. Which show?
Vermont show on the 30th.
I'm going to those.
Oh, fantastic!
Because Vermont is cool.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you so
much. No, absolutely. Reach out. And I just want to ask a question. Where are you from? You have such a thick, you know, you have an accent. You remind me of
I'm from Argentina, and but my father is Italian. So, I moved to Canada about 20 years ago, but I come from Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, my parents have a super big accent, and I love it. It's like, even my mother says, no, I like my accent. I never wanted to change. She's been in the United States for 40 years. She lived here. Just came off the boat.
Beautiful.
People love my accent. I'm keeping it. All right.
That's part of who you are. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It really is. So it was a pleasure, both of you. You're great. And I felt like really comfortable. I felt like I was hanging out with you guys in your awesome rooms there with Kiss and everything.
Thank you so much.
It's everywhere.
Feel the same way.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Like Claudia was saying, it was a true honor to have you on the show. And, you know, your relatability, your philosophies, you know, you're so down to earth. It really comes across on the screen. And,
you know,
this episode is what this podcast is about. It's about positivity. Mm-hmm. It's called the Kiss Army Nation podcast, but it's not always about Kiss. Kiss is a springboard to other things, you know?
Yes.
And if it wasn't for Kiss, there's so many people we wouldn't have met. We wouldn't have had an opportunity to talk to you and learn about you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully our listeners are going to learn something from this episode, because you have so much amazing things to say. And, you know,
you
wear your heart on your sleeve. And you're just an incredible person. And we really hope to meet you on the 30th.
Ah, thank you so much. I'm humbled. Thank you. Well,
thank you.
I really appreciate all your words. And that was really sweet. Thanks. That was fun. I had fun.
It was
good.
That's
beautiful. That's what it is.
I love to talk. I'm a gabber. You're going to be editing a lot. All right.
All right. So to the Kiss Army. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talk to me at kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and X. You can watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Podomatic, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is about you, so please like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. See you soon, Kiss Army.